Welcome to the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller. Hope you're enjoying the day. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with Anthony Steffen. He is the founder of True Hope, and it's a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people with mental health. And in the second part of the show, we're going to be talking with Dr. Osner, the famous Dr. Osner, about his book, his latest book, The Complete Mediterranean Diet. But before we do that, here's Reg with the health news.
The worldwide prevalence of diabetes is expected to increase from 366 million people in 2011 to 552 million people by 2030, an increase of 51%, and 90% of which will be type 2 diabetes. Now a new study suggests ginger powder may be another way to help maintain blood sugar health. The study involved 81 patients between the ages of 42 and 56, each diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. They were given either 3 1-gram capsules of ginger powder or placebo per day for 8 weeks. At the end of 8 weeks, those in the ginger group saw a 21% decrease in fasting blood sugar compared to a 10.5% increase in the placebo group. Those in the ginger group also saw a 6.1% decrease in a protein, which is a marker of type 2 diabetes, compared to an 18.8% increase in the placebo group. Regular aerobic workouts increase the size of the brain's memory area in older women and may help slow the progress of dementia, according to a small new study. The women also underwent MRIs to assess the size of their hippocampus, the part of the brain involved in verbal memory and learning. The study, conducted in the physical therapy department at the University of British Columbia, was published online April 8th in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. For 6 months, the women did twice weekly hour-long sessions of either aerobic exercise, resistance training such as weights, lunges, and squats, or balance and muscle toning exercise. 29 of the women had their hippocampus size checked after completing these exercise programs. Those who did the full 6 weeks of aerobic training showed significant enlargement of the hippocampus, but according to a journal news release, this change did not occur in those from the other groups. And finally, researchers working with lab mice say they know why people who suffer wounds from accidents or violence while binge drinking may take longer than normal to heal. The laboratory study replicated a typical pattern of binge drinking. During the binge drinking episodes, the amount of alcohol was equal to about twice the legal limit for driving. The researchers found binge drinking led to a major reduction in levels of immune system cells that play an important role in healing wounds. These cells clear away bacteria and debris. Researchers say having lower levels of these cells means a wound is more likely to be infected by bacteria. They also found binge drinking lowers production of a protein that recruits the cells to the wound site. The study was published online April 1st in the journal Alcoholism, Clinical and Experimental Research.
Thanks for that, Rich. Well, our first guest is Anthony Steffen. He is the founder of and CEO of True Hope Nutritional Support Limited, which is a nonprofit company dedicated to promoting mental well-being for those people suffering from various mood disorders. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be with you, Dave. And you've got wonderful information. I was listening to the studies that were coming out. Incredible. Wonderful stuff.
Well, tell us about how you got interested and how you got involved in, in finding about nutrition for people with mood disorders.
Well, sadly, Dave, I lost my first wife to a suicide. She was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and her father took his life 16 years before she did. Just a terrible, terrible traumatic issue, and her family was so afflicted. And at the time of her death, two of my children, Joseph and Autumn, Joseph was 15, about 240 pounds, diagnosed with the same disorder, extremely violent, out of control. It wasn't his fault. My daughter Autumn was in and out of the psych ward like a second home, and I had to find an answer. I was literally losing my family, and there wasn't a thing I could do to protect them.
Well, were they on medication? Was that helping at all? Or
no, not at all. In fact, my daughter was on 5 different medications: Haldol, Rivotril, Epavel, Ativan, and Cogentin. And Joseph was on a toxic dose. When I say toxic, I mean toxic. Very high dose of lithium. And it's used to try and control these symptoms, but the medications weren't working. The doctors were doing everything they could, good people, compassionate people, but there wasn't an answer there. And it left me where I had to start seeking for an answer, and I did. Amazing, you know, when you're left alone and there's nothing out there and you're broken and you're watching the most precious part of your family disappear, it's funny how you turn to God, and I did. Mm-hmm. And you know the saying, there are no atheists in the foxhole. And I started praying and searching and doing research and asking the question. And slowly over a 2-year period, those pieces of the puzzle came together that absolutely pointed towards nutrition as being a significant part of this whole puzzle, and started putting my son onto different nutrient regimens, and in about 4 different courses over about a 6-month period, I finally hit on the answer. And within 30 days of him taking this nutrient cocktail, he no longer exhibited any symptoms whatsoever of bipolar disorder.
What? No, I want to go back a bit because, you know, you started looking into nutrition. Was there a deciding point where you said, you know what, it's not going to get any better?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have been in and out of the hospitals, in and out of the doctor's offices, and the only thing they could say is we have to sedate him. And if we fail in that, if this doesn't work, we're going to have to institutionalize him. And you know, Dave, that's a terrible thought for a father or a mother to see their child that they're about to lose. And I've already lost my wife and my father-in-law to suicide, so I'll tell you what, it was a kick in the pants, and it left me running looking for an answer.
Did it make you question, Anthony, if whether or not it was something you were doing, you know, as a parent?
Yeah, you always go through that. That's the first thing. You always blame yourself, and then you realize, hey, nobody did this. There was no villain.
Yeah.
Nobody lined up to sign up for this experience, nor would they want to. It's terrifying.
What was it like being married to somebody with bipolar disorder?
Terrible, because you're so in love with that person and you can't communicate, and they're raging and they're exploding, and sometimes they get extremely depressed and you wonder, what's wrong? Why? This is a good place we're in. We're okay financially. We don't have these pressures and it's good. And yet you're so depressed and so despondent and you can't get out of bed. And there were times, Dave, I mean, it's so tragic. I had to dress my wife, literally kind of push her out of bed.
Must have been heartbreaking.
Get her dressed. Oh, it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, with the final thing, and she lost it to suicide. Mm-hmm. Wow, it was just like somebody dropped a nuclear bomb right in your living room. So it's terrifying.
And I get, you know, I can only imagine that you must have been pretty scared when you saw that, you know, that the same thing happening with your children.
Oh, I realized if an answer didn't come forward, I was going to lose my family. And incident to this, they got better. They did get better through this nutritional protocol. But later on, I've got a daughter at the age of 11 that became schizophrenic, a son, another son that was diagnosed at the age of 16 with hypomania, another young lady, a beautiful girl in our family, and at the young age of 22, diagnosed with MDD, major depressive disorder, and fibromyalgia. All of them are well. They've never looked back by using this nutritional protocol.
So you're saying that these children, some of them were on quite heavy medication.
Yes.
And now they're using nutritional supplements to heal themselves or to be, you know, to stay in a good place.
Oh, it's an answer. You know, this yesterday afternoon, the University of Calgary, in conjunction with the University of Canterbury, at the McEwen Hall on the University of Calgary campus, held a symposium, talked about the research. There's 25 studies on this protocol that we're talking about here, and they laid out all the evidence in a non-commercial fashion. But the absolute evidence is there, is that nutrition has a very, very profound effect on the way that we're able to emote, and cognitive function and all of those things that we need on a daily basis to make our brain run properly.
Anthony, tell me a little bit about the story about how you stumbled on the fact that nutrition was the answer. And
you know, it was interesting. Over a two-year period, as I prayed and searched and asked people, do you know anything about bipolar? Oh, yeah, my Aunt Sally had bipolar. How's she doing? You know, expecting to hear a positive comeback. Well, she's dead. She died in the institution. The medication took out her liver. Do you know anything about bipolar? Yeah, my brother-in-law has bipolar. How's he doing? Once again, hoping to hear something positive. And the comeback is not good. He lives in the basement. His wife has to look after everything. And you know, those kinds of things just drove me, because I absolutely believed in the heart of all hearts that there was an answer somewhere, that this wasn't part of the program, that this was an anomaly. We're not meant to have these disorders. And it kept on driving me, and slowly but surely the pieces came together. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard that strange tape called Dead Doctors Don't Lie.
No, I haven't. Friend,
it's hilarious. It's about nutrition, and a friend of mine gave it to me, and I just about drove my second wife, Barbara, crazy as I listened to it five times in that day that I received it. And that night, in the middle of the night, I had a shocking experience. It was like getting hit with a thunderbolt. I woke up around 2 or 3 in the morning with a jolt, and my wife said, what's going on? Are you okay? And I just had this profound feeling come over me. Just keep looking. Keep looking in the way of nutrition. And I did. And slowly but surely, this thing evolved to the point that we put together this supplement. It's not a supplement. It's a micronutrient protocol. It's more than a supplement. And we saw the effect. And now we put over 125,000 people through our database on it. People that were extremely severe, the worst of the worst, and have recorded their symptoms. New York State University gained access by permission to our database, confidentiality agreements that they wouldn't reveal the names of the people there, did a study on it, absolutely validated, 25 medical journal publishings establishing that nutrition in this form, in this highly bioavailable form, affects extremely positively.
Not everybody liked the fact that you stumbled upon this, did they?
No. In fact, Health Canada became a real enemy, sadly, and they went after us. We were eventually charged criminally for what we had done. And they actually went after the researchers. They persecuted the researchers. It was really bad. We went to court. The judge saw through what they were doing and awarded us the necessity defense, that people had the right to do this, that they have the right to mediate their own health in Canada. That's a constitutional right, by the way. It was declared numbers of times by the Supreme Court of Canada.
Hmm. Yeah. So what do doctors typically say when somebody who has some, you know, mood disorders or manic or anxiety or bipolar, they've been on medication and they want to try something? What happens typically?
You know, in the past, extreme resistance. Like I say, yesterday, there was over 650 people at the McEwen Hall. Hmm. Numbers of doctors were there and positive. There's a shift taking place. There's a paradigm shift where doctors are starting to look into this. They're hearing too many stories, and they're realizing that in some cases, these chemicals aren't effective, and they're hurting people more than helping, you see. Hmm. So there's a transition taking place.
We're talking with Anthony Stephan. He is the CEO and co-founder of True Hope Nutritional Support. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people with mental well-being. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about how you can use nutrition to help your moods, anxiety, and even bipolar.